All right, everybody, welcome to CADcast episode number 190, also known as the Infinity Ward PlayStation 3 Meltdown Mass Effect 2 Super Show.
Of savings.
Yes, of savings and
shipwreck.
And shipwreck.
Yes. Was I supposed to say something there?
I don't know. What do I know?
I got it.
It wouldn't be
right
like
here.
You to say something.
No, I like to leave silence.
Right. Right, just dead air is the name of the game here.
I call it awkward pauses.
It was a really slow news week this week, so I think instead of talking about video games, Wombat's going to give us his recipe for Long Island pulled pork.
Oh, it's real easy. What you do is you get a slow cooker.
And you put a piece of pork in it,
and then you pour a bottle of barbecue sauce on the piece of pork, you put the lid on it,
right,
and you set it for low for 12 hours.
Okay, and now Shipwreck is going to tell you how to assemble a group of underage girls and make it look like some sort of legitimate sporting meeting.
Yes, I've got three of those going right now. Three separate groups of girls. It's pretty ridiculous.
The question that everybody really wants to know is, how do you get, like, the ugly girls to not show up?
They're generally not very athletic anyways, so it's...
The ugly girls.
Yeah.
The hot girls are athletic.
Of course.
Oh, because they're fit.
Right. That's exactly why I chose all the athletic girls for my select basketball team.
Is Shipwreck talking about underage girls' bodies
yes,
right now?
Yes, he is. I think we should move on before someone gets arrested.
I think you're allowed to talk about that on the internet. I'm not
oh,
sure
yeah,
that, about
oh,
that.
Oh, on the internet, anything goes.
Right. Well, anyway, obviously, yeah, it is a huge week for news, and we'll be talking about all that stuff really soon, including I finished Mass Effect, so at the end of the Mass Effect 2. So at the end of the show, we will have our Mass Effect spoiler-filled roundtable brouhaha.
Let's just go straight to that.
No, we have to make it easy for people. So the easiest way to do that is just, you know, we end the show like an hour in and say, hey, if you want to listen to more, if you want to listen to us talk about Mass Effect for a half an hour, then stay tuned.
So we're stealing this from Joystick.
We are?
Basically, yeah. But,
yes.
You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have never listened to that, so we're not.
It's a good show. You should give it a chance.
I'm sure it's fantastic.
I was kidding anyway. It's terrible.
Right. I listened to the one that I was on. It was great. Well, I listened to the part that I was on. It wasn't that good, actually. I take it back. Anyway, I got to just tell you something right now that this is pretty annoying. I need some sympathy, so that's what I'm really looking for here.
Yeah, you're coming
so the
to
other
the
day,
right people.
I decide... Right. The douchebag of the year is looking for sympathy for maybe the runner-up douchebag.
And me.
Right, yeah. So, I decided the other day that I was going to go buy Heavy Rain. Because, I don't know, there's been a lot of talk about it. I figured, you know, everyone says, like, okay, it's not the greatest game out there, but it's a game that you should really experience.
Yeah, sure.
Especially if you're a father. It said you could really appreciate it more. So, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to Akihabara. I'm going to try to pick it up. Because PlayAsia was back-ordered, and, I don't know, I felt like getting out of the house. So, I go to Akihabara, and, like, I'm walking around, and I only find one copy of it in one store. And it's like, it was 7,900 yen, which is, I don't know, it's like $85. And I stood there and I thought about it for a second and I said, I don't think I could pay $85 for this game. I mean, so question one is, was that the right call
yes.
so far?
Yes.
Okay, now I'll tell you why I was confirmed that this was the right call about an hour later. So I get home, whatever, I'm sitting at the computer and I get a message, an instant message from Tracken, one of our moderators, and he said, there's some douchebag on the forums posting spoilers to Heavy Rain. He's like, we need to do something about it. So I click onto the video game deals forum, and this jerk off put the name of the killer in Heavy Rain in the title of a thread in the video game deals forum, and he even gave him his username. The same name as the killer. He wrote, like, such and such is the killer. So I saw it. And now the game is ruined for me.
Yeah, it is.
So there's no reason to play it now, right?
there's substantially less reason to play it. I it's still an interesting game to play, but yeah, I mean, right. Once the cat's out of the bag, it's pretty much done. Which is,
I would have been pretty upset, I think, if I dropped the $85 on that game to come home, you know, an hour later and have the game spoiled for me before I could even play.
Yeah, well, you could have just called me up and I would have taken care of the post for you.
I know, I didn't realize that it was right there, like in the title of the post. Like, I thought I could just dump it without even, you know, clicking through the thread.
Right. I'm really surprised they didn't at least give two endings to this game. Because, I mean, that would have alleviated a lot of
Even Friends
problem.
Recorded more than one ending to their series.
Yeah, I don't know. It's lame now. I feel like there's something important has been ruined for me. Needless to say, I banned the shit out of the guy and IP banned the guy. So, I don't know. So don't
so
do
now
that.
No one from
IP
that public
ban.
Library will be able to register for Cheap Ass Gamer.
No, it was from his home account, actually. I could tell. Anyway, so yeah, that's all. I think, I mean, we have a lot to talk about, so I don't know. Do you want to get right to it? Wombat, do you have anything to
say?
No,
we can just get right to it, because they can already tell you don't want me to talk about anything.
Well, I don't know,
No, forget it. Now it's too late.
I mean, you're going to say that your in-laws are coming to babysit Sabrina, so you can
Yeah, basically, yeah, they're going to be there that week. They're staying in my house.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty awesome. I mean, I booked all my E3 stuff. I'm ready to go. I got my media approval. I got the hotel. I got the plane. I'm ready for action.
And I'll be there.
Oh, wow.
Right, so.
I'm behind.
We're all ahead of you.
I submitted all my stuff today, so I'm just waiting for that.
Oh, okay. Anyway, let's go over some stuff from last week really quickly. First of all, we talked a little bit about, you know, remember Nick Suttner wanted to know who he thought would win the Battle of March for consoles, Final Fantasy III, Battlefield Bad Company 2, or God of War 3. Because I have no real insight or anything, I cheated and I looked up all the pre-orders on Amazon, you know, through CAG to see, you know, how it broke down. I thought this would be pretty interesting. So Final Fantasy for the PS3 was number one. But it was really close with Battlefield Bad Company for the Xbox 360. Like, super close. Like, I think 31.5% to 30.5%. So 1 percentage point difference between the two. And, you know, partly because Bad Company 2 had an extra $10 promotional credit on Amazon. But still, I bet you it's going to be close when the MPDs come out. Do you agree or disagree?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then you have God of War 3 coming in third place, Battlefield for the PS3 coming in fourth, and Final Fantasy for the Xbox 360 coming in fifth.
Hmm. I'm really surprised there's not more for God of War 3. Like,
I'm not that surprised. I think that Sony mishandled that franchise worse than any other. It's like they had a golden goose and they left it in the basement for 5 years. And they wait.
You mean by not having a game come out much sooner?
What should be coming out right now is God of War 4, and God of War 3 should have been out the first year of the PlayStation 3. And to not have a game out.
So you're not counting the PSP version.
No, I'm not counting the PSP version. So.
Well, you can say the same thing about Gran Turismo. I mean, 360's had two Forza
games.
Yes,
they have dropped the ball tremendously on Gran Turismo. I don't even care about Gran Turismo.
Right, but you can still see. I mean, it's like that's one of the biggest selling franchises of all time.
It was.
You know. They did milk money out of people for the that prologue.
I was
going to
say, at least they came out with something. Yeah, that prologue.
They got money from it, and I guess they used that to fund the development of the game, but still...
But where's Kratos been since God of War 2?
It's been on the PSP, PSP.
Been on the back of PSPs. He had his own PSP.
I mean, and I love those games, and it was smart of them to come out with the God of War collection. Maybe they should have come out with that a year ago. It seems as though they just haven't done enough. And I mean, they released that compilation, that collection, for no other reason than to remind people that that game exists.
Right. It does seem weird to me. So anyway, I just wanted to get that out there. We do have a thread going in the podcast forum, so you can post your own guesses if you want and win absolutely nothing.
Awesome.
But it might be fun. So let's see what else we got from last week. Okay, so last week we talked about the Ubisoft DRM issue on the PC, and a lot of people were really happy with Wombat's insight, and they want to hear more of it. Jackovasaurus says, "What's worse than Wombat actually condoning Ubisoft's DRM strategy is that he comes off like an arrogant prick about it. The World of War comparison was totally irrelevant. The whole, if you want to play it so badly, go play it on a console reasoning is bullshit. I have a PC that can run this, therefore I must have internet. Take your head out of your ass. Don't make these obtuse, shack-fooing, ridiculous assumptions." Yeah, and then he goes on to say that it looks better on the PC and he likes to use a mouse and keyboard. "I love listening to Wombat, but sometimes you can be a shack-fooing douche." And Wolfpup picks up right where Jackovasaurus left off.
Jackovasaurus.
Yeah, that's what his name is, right?
Funny.
Yeah. "Wow, until now I didn't know what a colossal douchebag Wombat is. The people complaining the loudest were going to pirate the game anyway. No, people who are going to steal the game have no reason to complain as the DRM doesn't affect them. You have to be online to play World of Warcraft. Yeah, genius, it's an MMO." And then he goes on to just hate you more.
No, but the last one is the best one.
I don't understand that.
I know, neither do I. That's why it's the best one. Why'd they even make... First he quotes me. "Why'd they even make a PC version? Gee, I don't know. Why'd they make a PC version, genius? I don't know. That was the question." And obviously...
Oh, I see. He was asking you the question. Okay, Right. You asked the question, and then he asked you the question. If you knew the answer, you wouldn't ask the question.
And I guess... Yeah, exactly. I don't think he knows the answer either. And I don't think Ubisoft knows the answer, to be perfectly honest.
Do you know... I mean, I was actually surprised by something. Maybe this is old news already, but you know that they're charging $60 for this on the
PC?
Not
only are they charging $60 for the PC on this, but it's now $40 everywhere on consoles.
Yeah. I was very surprised to see that. We actually just added direct-to-drive on our price tracker, and that's how I came to find out that it was $60. I was checking to make sure it was working. I was like, whoa, $60. What the hell happened? So I guess you're financing their new DRM technology when you buy Assassin's Creed 2.
Exactly. Well, here's my final word on the DRM for Ubisoft and Assassin's Creed 2.
Okay.
If you don't like the DRM, don't buy the game, but don't pirate the game. And then Ubisoft won't release a game with that DRM again. They'll get the picture. But if you don't buy the game and pirate the game, it just means the next game that's going to come out is going to have something that's even more annoying.
Right. You have to like have your thumb on a fingerprint scanner the entire time while you play.
You have to have a monitor shoved up your butthole the whole time. Yes.
Right. Yeah, so that was interesting. People got very upset with you.
I know, some people agree with me,
Oh, they did?
Care about people that agree with me.
I think for the most part, people were upset because you don't do any PC gaming. And therefore, you're not entitled to have an opinion about it.
Yeah, I guess not.
Well, none of us are. So that's our PC gaming
talk. I used to do a lot of PC gaming, though.
I'll ask you, as someone who is a former PC gamer, what is more annoying to you? To have to have your game on the internet at all times? Or, like, every couple of hours, the game will stop and ask you to type in a word that's on page 4, paragraph 3 of the instruction booklet that came with the game?
Yeah, that was pretty annoying. I remember.
How about the code wheels? Did you have a code wheel?
Yeah, remember I talked
about
Starfire?
That's right. You had the code wheel.
The worst was I had Dragon's Lair, and it had a sheet of paper that I had to type in codes from, and it's Dragon's Lair. Like, I'd make like 3 moves, and then I'd have to type in a code.
Oh. The funny thing is that you would just photocopy the code wheel. Like, you could do it. It was a code wheel. So you could take it apart, photocopy it, and cut out the holes, and then make it for your friend. It would probably take you, like, 10 minutes to do it, maybe more, if you want to make it look nice. But I remember, like, somebody did that for me. They gave me a game, and they made a code wheel for me. I don't remember what game it was. Sorry, I pirated a game.
Way to go. You were the problem.
I was 12.
That's why Assassin's Creed 2 has this.
That's why, you have to be online the whole time. And it does boggle my mind that there are people out there with computers that just aren't online.
Well, broadband is not everywhere.
I guess. I don't. At this day and age, it just seems like a given.
It's a big country, dude. You know, Whip Smart Banky, famous cheap ass gamer.
I am familiar
Whip Smart
with
Banky.
Him, yes.
He has dial up.
That scares me.
It is scary. He says he can get broadband where he lives, but it's expensive. It's very expensive.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
That was cheap. Excuse me.
So there you go. Obviously, I'm a douchebag and I don't understand PC gamers, but I do understand that pirating is not the way to go. There you go.
And TH Wack says, writes in, he says, after last week's CAGcast, Jim Sterling gave Deadly Premonition a 10. PS3 stopped working because Sony doesn't understand the concept of leap years, and Activision raided Infinity Ward. So what will happen in the video game industry after this week's CAGcast? I don't know the answer to that, but I thought that was a good thing to lead into one of the big stories. And that would be the whole Activision versus Infinity Ward, or more specifically, these guys are the former owners of Infinity Ward.
Yeah, they're the founders who sold the company to Activision, I guess.
Right, Vince and yeah. Jason. So, I mean, first of all, okay, I got to say a few things. First of all, I'm a stockholder of Activision. Now, I don't have it's not going to make or break me if the stock, goes up a lot or goes down a lot. So, I really don't care. But I thought I'd just mention that right away because I've mentioned that before. So I don't want someone bringing that up and throwing it back in my face like I was trying to hide it. Second of all, I mean, I do feel bad for people. You got to feel bad anytime somebody loses their job, okay? I mean, if they weren't like stealing or something like that.
Well, do we know that they weren't?
We don't. Yes. And you bring up a good point. We don't know the story. Really. So what anybody is talking about, whatever you hear now from us or anybody else, is just conjecture. But that's not going to stop us from conjecturing.
I do know someone that knows the facts, though.
Right.
But he won't tell me.
Right. So that doesn't help us
at
all.
It's not a big surprise to anybody on this, though, I don't think. Like, they've been skating on kind of like thin ice for a while with all the stuff. They're very in the face about how they don't like how Activision's handling them.
Right, when Kotick came out with that whole fear and, what was it, those three things that he said he needed his developers to have? Fear, something, and something?
Yes, fear, something, and something.
Well, yeah. Didn't they use those terms in like in a press event during a demo of Modern Warfare 2? They used it as like the player names or something like that. But, I don't know, I mean, these guys... I can see why they would want to be out or why they would get fired. I mean, Activision has a very...
It's skepticism, pessimism, and fear.
There you go.
Yeah, they were loadouts, I believe.
Loadouts, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it's easy to understand why these guys... I mean, they said they were fired for insubordination, and if that indeed is true, it's easy to see that that could be true. And they're not just bullshit, because Activision did just release their plans for the whole Call of Duty franchise, and they're basically looking to
Guitar Hero
take it to the next... Yeah, Guitar Hero the shit out of it. And that means, now there's going to be an action-adventure Call of Duty. There was rumors before about, like, a persistent online world with Call of Duty, like, World of Warfare type situation,
World of
I
Duty?
Guess. I don't know.
Whatever makes the...
World of Duty. Yeah. World of Duty is better. So yeah,
I'm still laughing at World of Duty. That was a corny joke.
Yeah, Duty's good. Duty's pretty funny. So they're looking to really make like Treyarch is going to be making a version next year, and Sledgehammer, I guess, is the studio that was going to be making the action adventure version. And you could easily see that the heads of Infinity Ward would not be happy with this. And say, we don't like this, and put up a big fuss, and then Activision could say, hey, you know what? We bought your company. We can fire you.
Yep.
It's our game now, bitches, and you're gone.
Sure.
And that's what happens. When you sell your company, you can be fired. If they didn't sell their company, guess what? They wouldn't be fired. So they took the money, and they put up, they made a big stink about it. Hey, maybe they wanted to be fired.
It's quite possible. I'm sure they will get some sort of package.
I mean, these guys, you got to remember, these guys, before they started Infinity Ward, they had their own company. What was it, 2012, right? Was that the name of it?
2015, I think. Was it 20-something?
Not, 20-something, right? And they made the Medal of Honor games.
Right.
And they basically decided that they didn't want to make, you know, they got sick of making those games, and they left that company.
To make games
and
just
made
like
Infinity
it.
War.
Yeah, they made the same
to make games,
games
just like it, and now it looks like the same thing's happening all over again. They, you know, they lost control of that. You're right, it was 2015. They lost, you know, they sort of lost control of their franchise, or they didn't want to be tied down to making these types of games, and they put up a stink, or they wanted to be fired, or who knows, but now they're gone. They're going to get it, you know, if that's indeed the case, then they're going to get what they wanted, I guess. And people are upset, I guess, you know, and because they love Modern Warfare, they love the game, and now they're afraid that the game is going to be ruined, that Activision is going to ruin it, which is indeed entirely possible, right? I mean, who knows?
We have seen Tony Hawk, and we have seen Guitar Hero.
But, you know, inevitably, doesn't that happen to most games when you make, like, 50 different versions of them? You get tired of playing them.
Sure.
Yeah. It's not crazy or unusual. But it doesn't mean that your copies of Call of Duty 4 or Modern Warfare 2 that you're currently enjoying have any less value to you in the moment.
Absolutely.
And it just means, we don't know how much input even these guys, I mean, do we know how much input they even had on those games?
That's what I was going to say. Who's to say that these two guys are at this point were how influential or how important they were to the development of the game? I mean, you would think that they would be very, but you don't know that for sure. And I'll tell you what, after all this huge outcry and all this big news that's everywhere, the Activision stock went up yesterday.
Well, it went up because they announced more Call of Duty games were coming out.
And they announced right. they made a lot of money, and that's really all that's going to matter to your stock. If they're making money, and they're announcing things that are going to make them more of that money, as far as the general right. populace is concerned, then your stock's not going to drop. Not until those games that they say they're making are crappy. And if they do that, then you have to dump that stock.
Yeah, so time will tell what will happen. I'm sure, I would imagine that the story will get out eventually of what really went down. But I know a lot of people are calling for the blood of Activision, and you know we just don't know the story. I mean, these guys, for all we know, these two guys could have just, you know, they could have been like talking behind everybody's back saying, hey, we want to get out of here, let's start up another company, you know, we've made our money from, you know, from the sale of this one, and we're sick of making Call of Duty anyway, let's get out of here, maybe we'll bring some of our Infinity War developers with us, you know, maybe that's exactly what happened. We don't know. And in that case, you would want to fire the hell out of these guys. And you'd want to sue them.
Sure, which I think is going to happen.
Because if they did do that, then they were in breach of their contract. I'm sure they have some sort of non-compete clause in there prohibiting them from doing just that. So, I don't know. The story is going to continue to unfold. At the very least, it's interesting. I don't know. Is it the end of the Modern Warfare franchise? I don't think so. It's still going to sell a shitload. I think, you know, like first person shooters and third person shooters seem to be games that are like pretty, if you can make a good one, you seem to be able to sell a lot of them pretty easily, especially if you have a brand.
Well, that was a pretty sticky qualifying statement. If you make a good one.
No, not I don't mean you make like a ridiculously awesome one. I mean, if you make one that doesn't suck, cuz like even Army of Two. I mean, okay, no one thought that those games were, you know, revolutionary or incredible or amazing. But, you know, you put the right ad campaign behind it, the game's certainly competent and it's certainly pretty to look at. You know, it's decent.
I wouldn't call it pretty to look at, but yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe the first one was more pretty to look at its time than the second one is now. But, you know, you get some nice commercials behind it and you can sell it. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the game. It is an interesting. It was a pretty wild story with like the, you know, the news on being unveiled. Like the security guards are showing up at Infinity War.
Yeah, when all is said and done, I'll try and get us some good dirt. But I won't be able to do that until later.
Until everybody else.
Well,
knows.
Well, no, I could probably find out things that no one else would know, but it would be a while.
Right.
So I don't know.
Pajama Man, CAG Pajama Man, sent me a message, actually. I thought this was pretty interesting. He sent me a link to a game trailer show called The Bonus Round. That's the one with Jeff Keighley and, you know, Pachter's on there sometimes. And I guess a week or 2 weeks ago, they had a discussion about development studios, people getting fired, and all this stuff. Hold on, I got to load it up now to see who's in there. And, oh, now it's playing in my ear. Okay, so Jason Rubin, he was the former guy. He was one of the guys who started Naughty Dog, and now he's run some other company. He left Naughty Dog. They were saying that even if you're like a big shot, and Jeff Keighley actually brought up these two guys who got fired from Infinity Ward, Jason and Vince. Were Jeff or Jason?
we're real close to him. I think it's Vince and Jason.
Okay. He said, even those two guys, they leave Infinity. And this is funny because this is all hypothetical. Jeff Keighley brings up these two guys' names, you know, by name, and says, like, what if these guys want to go to EA? And Jason Rubin says, look, even if you're a famous heads of studios who've made a huge game, doesn't matter what game is, you won't be able to get money for your blockbuster game from another company unless you bring the whole studio with you. Because of the amazing amount of money that it costs to produce a game like this, it's like producing a blockbuster movie, you know, $100 million at this point, that you need to bring the whole studio with you. He said it's basically impossible, no matter how famous you are, if you just got one or two guys that go to a big company like EA or Activision, you can't get money.
Well, I mean, so it'll be after David Jaffe went off the God of War series, he was able to fund Calling All Cars.
Yeah. I'm sure that game cost $100 million to make, too.
Right. And no one else on the panel really agreed with Jason Rubin, but the guy was really, really sure of himself. He's like, I guarantee it.
Well, that's because he went through it. I mean, he left Naughty Dog and started his own company, but I don't think he was able to find the $100 million to make the game of his dreams.
Yeah, and I guess even now with the economy as it is, trying to get a $100 million loan is probably pretty tough right now.
Yeah, it can't be easy.
Especially something risky like a video game development. Anyway, it was sort of interesting that Jeff Keighley brought up these two guys' names, you know, saying going to EA a week or two ago. Maybe he knew something. That's what Pajama Man thought. Anyway. All right, anything else on the Activision
thing
that we
need to talk about?
No,
we already overtalked it.
Okay, excellent. So let's go into new releases.
All right. This week is baseball week. So you get MLB 10 The Show and MLB 2K10 coming out.
Can you play as the San Diego Chicken in either one of these games?
Not in 2K10. I'm not sure about The Show.
Can you do training with Johnny Bench and the San Diego Chicken in any of these games?
I don't believe so. I
remember that show. Yeah. What was that show?
That was what was the name of it? Ah, my brain just melted. Talks amongst yourselves.
It wasn't part of Inside Baseball, was it?
No. It was like the something club or something like that.
Chicken club?
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I always have a fond place for baseball games in my heart because remember when I used to do those video on Cold Pizza? They had me on like a couple times to talk
about
games. I
do remember that.
Sundance.
Yes.
And we were talking about whatever the EA baseball game was at the time. And the interviewer asked me, like, you know, I forgot what question she asked me, but my response was, like, you know, I don't really like baseball games that much, but this one seems pretty good, or something like that. And when we got off recording that segment, the producer was so mad at me, and that was the last time I was ever on the show.
Like, I could understand that, since you were on a sports show saying you didn't like sports games.
No, I didn't say sports games. I said baseball games. I said baseball games can be kind of boring or something like that because they take forever to play, you know.
Oh.
And they didn't like that, and then I was never on again. But I think I moved to Japan like 3 months later, so it didn't really matter.
The Baseball Bunch. That was the name of the show.
Yes, the baseball bunch. Yes. That was
and that
an show awesome
was on from
show.
80 to 83, and I can remember that show as if it was on right now.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. And, you know, look at it. That show really made us the athletes that we are today.
Yep.
If you think about it.
Yes. And I like, this is similar to our Aliens vs. Predator discussion from a couple weeks ago. If we don't know anything about the games, we just talk about stuff that we do know about.
Another thing that got me basically kicked off that show was that Sundance started shaving his head, and we basically looked like the same person. You know, dark featured guy with a shaved head and bushy eyebrows.
They also canceled Cold Pizza, which may have something to do with it.
Oh, well, that was, yeah, but it went on for a little while.
But as soon as they dumped you, the show just went.
Yeah, right. You know. I'm sure they had a lot of ratings before I was on, too.
Mm-hmm.
So MLB The Show is out. I mean, what are the reviews like? That game's supposed to be good pretty, you know,
it's usually
right?
Consistently good, yeah. I'm actually getting 2K10 in for review, so I know a little bit more about that one because I was in a hour and a half conference call on that one.
Did you ask if the Blue Jays are in it?
I did not ask if the Blue Jays were in it, and I didn't ask how many ninjas are in your game either.
I don't even get it.
For like the couple of days before, no one gets it except for me and Chipback. For the couple of days before we had this conference call, we were trying to think of the most inane questions one can ask if they were on a conference call with a baseball.
Oh yeah, he asked me for some suggestions too. I asked him how much karate was in the game.
Things that, like, if other outlets were listening, they'd be like, "What the hell is wrong with Cheap Ass Gamer?"
Well, they don't even say your name during these things. It's just
I wanted Chipwreck to ask if the Negro League teams were playable, and when they said said no, you should have said "damn honkies" and hung up the phone.
You should have said, "Isn't that a bit racialist?" Well, anyway, MLB The Show has a 90 on Metacritic right now, so it seems to be doing quite well.
Yes,
even without the Negro League teams,
which they should have, to be honest.
Sure.
If you really want to.
Do you know there's a Negro League team called the Chicago American Giants?
Yes, and they have the CAG uniforms.
Yep, and I have a jersey from the Chicago American Giants. And the colors were green, white, and black.
Crazy.
I didn't have the balls to wear it when I lived in New York because it did say Negro League on the sleeve. And I just figured that was a recipe for a stabbing. So it stayed in my closet.
Also out this week is Battlefield Bad Company 2. I have been playing a little bit of that. I know you picked it up as well, Cheapy. Have you played it yet?
Well, it's coming. It probably will arrive today. Actually.
The doorman at my building at work didn't love it. So
really?
Yeah.
I'm really liking it.
He gave me his review this morning.
Is he a big
morning.
Call of Duty guy?
He is, and he gave me his review this morning, and he was like, he was not impressed. And I was surprised.
What was his review? And do an impression of him.
I'd rather
well.
Not. And so I saw him with the game yesterday, and I asked him how it was and this morning, and he goes, "Not that good, man. Not that good. I thought it'd be good. It's a little hard. I don't love it. Some reviewers have been giving it like an 8. I'd probably give an 8 too."
An 8's not good?
It's
pretty
good
enough for him. I'm just letting you know what he said.
Have you played the multiplayer ship, or are you just
starting off with
the single?
I'm like 4 or 5 levels into the single player, which it's only 13 levels long, and I've only been playing for maybe an hour and a half. So
I think it's about the same length as Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty short. But I'm liking the single player already. I mean, it looks nice. Things blow up real.
I heard the sound is incredible.
Yeah, the sound's great. And I'm playing it on the PS3, and I just recently picked up a DualShock 3 for the first time. And I'm glad I did because the vibration in this is great too. Like all the guns sound and feel very different.
So is your wife going to be reviewing Battlefield Bad Company 2 for us?
No.
The controller?
Yeah, the controller she will, not the game. She doesn't like first-person shooters. But
she likes putting controllers on her private parts.
Yeah, who doesn't? I mean,
right. I'm doing it right now, sure. Actually. So once you're done with the single play, you're going to trade that in and get the 360 version?
Maybe. I'll try a little bit of the online with it because it does seem like it's going to be a good online game just from, like, the shooting mechanics are good. The auto aim is a little bit extreme in the single player version. It's almost like Killzone 2 in that you just, like, let off the zoom, and then once you're in the vicinity of somebody, you just hit the zoom button and it just, like, goes to an instant headshot.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that's nice. I like that.
right.
But it's a fun game. Like, it's not as serious as what Modern Warfare is, which right. I can appreciate.
With a seriously stupid story?
They both like Modern Warfare. Probably pretty stupid stories.
Right.
All
right. But yeah, I like it. I like the demo, so I thought, seemed pretty good. So
yeah, it seems good to me. And then also this week, there's the Sonic Classic Collection for the DS, which is the first four Sonic games.
So overpriced.
Yeah, it's $30. Forget it. It needs to be $20.
Not even.
Well, I mean, it's going to, I'd say a $20 would be a good starting.
A good starting price would have been $20, yes.
Yeah. And then you got a code for Toy Soldiers.
I played Toy Soldiers last night. Can you say that five times fast?
I played Toy Soldiers last night. I played Toy Soldiers last night.
Toy Soldiers?
I gave up after two. I realized I couldn't do it. I
figured as much. It's not bad. It's a tower defense game. It is.
Oh, it is?
Oh, okay.
I didn't know. I didn't really know what I was getting into. I thought it was an RTS until I started playing it, and I'm like, wait, I have no troops. I only have guns. So,
but you don't aim.
You
the do. Guns?
You could actually control the gun and get into it, and you could shoot.
Okay,
the
so it's
yeah,
more
well,
than just
I
a
didn't,
tower defense
let me
game.
Finish.
Sorry.
Yes, it's an RTS in the sense you could set up the positions and you could put up all the different types of. It's World War One style guns. Which is actually pretty cool, and it actually looks really nice. And if you're looking for a unique tower defense game, it is really good. It's a little pricey at $15. I think at $10, it would probably be an easy pickup. It does also come with avatar awards. So if you look at my avatar, he's wearing a gas mask.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I was wondering about that. They kind of
no, they give you the gas mask just for buying the game, and then you get another avatar. Doohickey when you finish the game, but I haven't finished the game, so I don't know what it is yet.
So it's a tower defense game, but you can actually
shoot you could get it. You could get into the gun, and you can either shoot the machine gun. It's a turret, so you're in the turret, and
that's
you could either
cool. I
you could
like
shoot the guys that are coming, or you could get into the howitzer and launch the. So you have control over that, or you could let it auto control, and you could start upgrading and planning. It's really up to you. I kind of like to get, they give you like 10 seconds between waves. So you plan out, you put your stuff down, you upgrade a couple of things. And then as the clock winds down, you hop into a machine gun and you start mowing the guys down as they come in. And I couldn't tell if it was just because I was playing at, level two. But I think maybe you get more money if you control it or not, but I don't know for sure. Like you get money to build stuff, so...
I meant to download the demo. I mean, I did download the demo, but I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely more interested in it now because I thought it was some kind of strategy game as well.
No, it's not. It's a tower defense game. It's a third-person perspective tower defense game. It's not overhead or 2D. So, yeah.
Right. All right, cool. So it sounds like like it so far. It sounds like at the very least, people should just download.
Yeah,
I
recommend downloading
shot.
The demo. Like I said, there are people that really love the tower defense genre. I'm like... I'm a take it or leave it when it comes to the tower defense genre, but I do like the game. Yeah. Gotcha.
And then other ones worth mentioning this week are Mega Man 10 for WiiWare and Lunar for PSP.
Lunar.
But
not Lunar?
Yes.
Right. Oh, I haven't played either of those, but I do want to give a quick shout out to Chime, that Xbox Live Arcade game where all the developer proceeds go to charity. $5. It's like Luminous, but
crappy.
A little different
crappy.
Enough that it's.
It sucks.
It's not crappy. It's. Dude, have you played it with your X4?
I don't care
headsets?
To play with my X4 headset. I just.
It's. Have you Ship?
Yeah, I have. It sounds good. It's nice to look at. It's relaxing. I mean.
Yeah.
It's not crappy. It's $5, dude.
I'm sure. I'm glad it's $5. That doesn't make it good.
All right, you're banned.
Am I a banned now?
You're a douchebag. I agree with these other
whatever.
Dudes.
You're the bad guy in Killer Rain. Or Heavy Rain. Killer Rain Heavy.
Killer
World.
Killer
Kill
Rain.
Duty.
Right. World of Duty. Yeah, that's good. I should write that down for the show title. Okay, so what else we got? That's it for the new releases?
That's good enough.
Yeah, we can move on from here.
Okay, so let's do a little bit of CAG news, game shopping news. We did launch something very exciting on Cheap Ass Gamer at the end of last week, and that is the Trade-In Tracker. Is that what we're calling it? I actually forgot what we're calling it. Hold on, I have to look. Yes, it's the Trade-In Value
the
Tracker.
The TIV Tracker.
The TIV Tracker. So basically what you can do is you go to CAG, you'll see it right in the nav bar, Trade-In Values, click on that, and you can type in the name of a game, and look it up. Look up the trade-in value at different retailers. We're going to have, right now we're doing Amazon, GameStop, Game Crazy, and Blockbuster. Amazon is going to be automated very soon.
And so, Game Crazy and Blockbuster are going to be out of business very soon. So we won't worry about this.
So for GameStop, we're relying on user submissions. And we've been getting a ton of them. So don't think just because we're relying on user submissions that we're not going to have any. We have hundreds. And you can see what the latest submissions are. You can browse them. It's really quite slick. So definitely check that out. And it's good timing because GameStop's got that 50% bonus trade-in thing going on until March 14th. So that is definitely something that I am very happy about. Also, in the world of... Wait, I just lost my spot here. In the world of CAG news, I have a contest to announce. And I am giving away... Oh, God, I better look up the guy's name who gave it to me. We're giving away an invite to the StarCraft II beta, which I believe is a very valuable prize, if I'm not mistaken. Am I mistaken?
I don't know how.
I don't play PC games.
Yeah, I don't know anything about PC games, and when I talk about them, I'm a douchebag, so I'm going to just refrain.
Right. Abstain. Well, I know they were selling on... they were selling for like $300.
Yeah, I don't know if they still are.
Anyway,
but, yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank Peter for sending that to us. And to win this, all you have to do is just make a comment in the show thread. Not like a stupid comment like I want to win the StarCraft beta. Just a comment about the show, a real comment. Can be like, you know, anything legitimate, and we'll draw a winner at random. And if you don't want it, you can sell it or do whatever you want with it. Give it to a friend.
Yeah, right now ends most recent StarCraft beta key and with a polar bear mount for World of Warcraft is selling for $200 on eBay.
Wow. Okay, so this is a real price.
Without the polar bear mount, it's going for about $85.
Okay, well, still
we need to get some polar bear mounts.
Yeah.
Right, that's like gold.
I guess so. People want to mount a polar bear.
Right. Sunday ad deals, best of the deals, pretty good one over at Toys R Us. If you buy Battlefield Bad Company 2, you get 50% off either Mass Effect 2, Left 4 Dead 2, Army of 2, or Dante's Inferno. No, one.
They fixed that glitch now?
Which one?
I know the original, the day that it went out on Tuesday, it was buy one, get 50% off your entire purchase. So,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I know Kamish went in and got Battlefield and Dante's Inferno for like $60 total.
Oh, he got oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you get 50% off the other game.
Well, you get 50% off your total order or whatever.
So like if you went and bought like a baby stroller.
It was basically buy one, get one free on games.
If you bought a baby stroller, would he get 50% off?
I don't know if it was off non-video game stuff, but you could try it.
Right. Well, I can't try it, but
somebody else. You don't need a stroller anyway.
Oh, he did it on the online, you mean?
No, he did it in-store. There was in-store. Okay. A whole bunch of people on your website were talking about it. I think it's fixed now, though. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay, so is that it for the... I'm trying to think if there's anything else deal-related that we need to mention. Well, Section 8 is only $9.90 at
I should have
GoGamer.
That by the end
got
of the
sold
week.
Out.
Right? When do we think I'll have that, Shipwreck?
You should have that soon.
Yeah.
We're going to have a Section 8.
Oh, it's
8.
Out of stock. Forget
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're going to have a Section 8 CAG night here coming up.
Great. All right. Let's do a quick little plug for GoDaddy.com. Couple coupon codes for you. 10% off any order. Use coupon code CAG10. $5 off a $30 order. CAG5 off 30. And $6.95 domain names at CAG domain. Use coupon code CAG domain. Of course, this is for registering domain names and or internet web hosting. Because where else are you going to do web hosting but on the internet? Right?
It's a little restricted,
so GoDaddy.com. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's
a little
what sucks about the DRM on these websites. You have to be online to use them.
Yeah, you know, they have the internet on computers
that's
now.
That's crazy talk.
All right, let's move on to we'll do the multi-platforming first. Is this Sonic and Sega racing thing from last week and nobody took it off?
No, I got my review copy of it in.
Oh, okay.
I tried it out. You sound excited to talk about it, though, Cheapy. You fired up about this?
I'm all about the car.
Fucking blue rodent goes in a circle. What's next?
Right. Let me guess. You shoot some projectiles at the cars in front of you?
And behind. You can choose.
And behind.
Yeah. It's a good... Holy moly, a very good kart racing game. Especially if you like Sega characters. I mean, it's fun to race around as Sonic and all his crappy friends. But then you get the like really strange characters like Billy Hatcher's in this and the guys from Bonanza Brothers. But you have like Ryu from Shenmue and I don't know. It's a whole cast of Sega characters. It's like 22 characters in total. And it's just a lot of fun. Like it's a
very
well-done
characters than Sega Tennis.
Yeah, yeah. Two of the characters are you can play as your avatar and you can play as Banjo and Kazooie on the 360 version, obviously.
Did you play Mario Kart Wii?
I have, yes.
Which is better?
They actually play very differently.
Which is better?
I actually like this better. But I would concede that Mario Kart's probably the better game, like for most people. But I like Sonic and Sega All Stars Racing better. It's got a very like OutRun feel to it because you build up your speed by drifting through all the corners. And I don't know, I just like Sega stuff, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, right? No, I started Sega Tennis over the weekend, which I know I'm a little late to the party on that, but Sabrina loves watching me play that game, so I get to play it on Sunday afternoons, and right. It's really not bad. I mean, I got it for $4.50. I think you could still get it for $4.99 used at GameStop with four live arcade games on a second disc in the same box. It's so worth it if you have any even a minor interest in Sega characters and a tennis game. Because even the little mini games are fun, like, hitting zombies with tennis balls. It's kind of fun. And there's a House of the Dead level. And you could play as...
There's a House of the Dead level in the racing game,
sure there is. And you could play as the dwarf from, Golden Axe.
Golden Axe?
Lord of the Rings.
Golden Axe is a playable character.
There's no Golden Axe in the racing, which is kind of disappointing.
That is disappointing. Because there's some pretty fun levels in the tennis one.
There is Jet Set Radio Future, though, which, like, anytime I actually hear the music and see all the graphics for it, I just get excited again, because I love that game.
That's in Mario Tennis. That's in Sonic Tennis, too.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you should pick that up.
It's a great game. They need to make another one of those.
So there you go.
All right. Moving on in multi-platforming, BioShock 2. I got it yesterday, or 2 days ago, but I played it yesterday.
What do you think? I finished it up. I want to hear what you think first.
Okay, well, I've only played, I'd say less than 2 hours, probably close to 2 hours, I would say.
Okay.
I mean, so far, I like it. I mean, first of all, the game is very pleasing on the eyes. I mean, it's a pretty looking game. It seems a lot more colorful than the first game, maybe brighter. I don't know what it is, but it's kind of stunning.
Hmm.
Like, I found myself just, like, looking around, I'm like, wow, this is... this is a nice looking game.
Yeah, it is. I think I think the main difference between the first one and this one graphics wise is they've kind of taken that weird, I think this is Unreal Engine. Do you know? It looks like Unreal Engine.
Okay. I don't know.
But they took that weird sheen that was on every texture in the first game. And they've kind of like made it so everything doesn't look slimy in this one.
Yeah. I think there was a bit of a plastic look in the first one.
It is Unreal, by the way.
Yeah, so I think they've managed to take that plasticky, like shiny, slimy feel away. And I think that helps a lot graphically. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know what I was expecting, but I was definitely pleasantly surprised by the look of the game so far. Especially now, you play as a big daddy in this game, which I don't really feel like I'm a big daddy, though. Like when I'm walking around, Big Daddy's move pretty slow in the game, is from what I remember.
Yeah, but this one you're moving faster than you were in the first game, it seems like.
Yeah, it's pretty fast. And also, I don't, when you fight a Big Daddy, like, they're really tough. And I don't feel very tough when I'm playing this as a Big Daddy.
Right.
Like, I get killed in 2 seconds.
That kind of flips the other direction as you go on in the game.
You get more powerful.
Yeah, like once you start leveling up everything, you get pretty powerful.
Because I feel like I get shot, like, just, five times and I'm dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a big guy in a diver suit. I feel like I should be able to handle more
than
that.
Well, here's what I have to say. Go get a diver suit. Ask a friend to shoot you five times. And see how many hits you could take.
Right.
Could
I'll
you?
Try that.
Yeah.
I'll get Manatee. What was that dude's name again? From Justice League? The bad
Black
guy?
Manta.
Black Manta. Can Black Manta come out and play and shoot me? Right.
Yes.
Anyway, some of the cooler moments so far for me in the game is you get to go underwater with the diving helmet, and it's, you know, because you're wearing the whole suit actually, and it's just, it looks amazing, and like the you know, the feel of going through the water, and you jump, you float a little bit. It's really, they really captured that extraordinarily well. And when you come out of the water, the effect of the water running over your mask, and I don't know. I really like it so far. I see like it might get very frustrating because a lot of the, you know, the way that you collect the atom in this game is you have to protect the little sister while she's sucking the atom up from the dead people.
Right.
Which is, you know, it seems basically like an escort mission, but, you know, you're standing in one. It's a protection mission.
Yeah, she can't die. Like you only fail if you die.
Oh, is that true? Okay.
Yeah, she can't die.
Oh.
She just doesn't. She stops sucking out the atom if she's getting hit.
I see. One of my other things that I wanted to mention that my wife and I both sort of agreed upon is like, there's not much introduction to the story. Like you just sort of start off and start playing, and they're telling you a little by little what's going on. But I find myself sort of confused a little, you know, already. Like I don't understand if this is taking place before the first game or after the second game.
This is like 10 years after.
10 years after, okay. Because they don't tell you that. You know, you have to look this up somewhere to know that, I guess.
Well, they're trying to do the same thing the first game did where, I mean, your plane crashes down, you have no idea where you're at, and then you go inside and you get in a bathysphere, and then you just go. And they're trying to do the same type of thing with the second one. As far, like, my thoughts having finished it is I think it's a very good first-person shooter, but it kind of feels like fan fiction as far as story-wise and just, like, a bunch of the things that they did to make it different from the original BioShock. It just seems like this is a lot more of a just standard first-person shooter than the original game was.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you had the dual wielding in this. Like, in the first game, you had to switch back and forth between your plasmids and your guns. And this one, it just seems like everything's a lot quicker. And it doesn't have the surprise that the first game did. Like,
well, I don't
everything
think you
happens
could ever
in...
redo that kind of surprise.
No, but they could have mixed it up a little bit better.
M. Night Shyamalan's been trying that now for almost 20 years. And he's had no luck either.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
But M. Night doesn't throw you the same enemies in the exact same progression
as
what
you
saw the last game.
In Signs, they all saw dead people.
But, yeah, I just some of the choices they made kind of take what was BioShock to me out of it, too. Like, just like as little things like even the hacking game, where in the last game it was that where you had to rearrange the pipes to get the fluid through.
Right.
And it, like, changed every time.
Yep.
This time around, it's always the same, just like little meter where you have to stop a needle inside the green.
Right.
And like, even like you had to figure out how to get up close to like the cameras and the turrets and kind of sneak up on them to hack them in the first game to move around. And this one, they give you a gun where you can just shoot them from far away and then hack them just like while you're hiding behind a wall.
Yeah. Maybe I guess they decided to make it a little more easy.
Well, I think they did. And
although I'm dying a lot
in
the beginning.
See, you still die
a
lot, but I just don't think it's as smartly designed as the first game, I guess.
Okay, but I think we'll both agree. I mean, you've certainly finished it and I have not, but it seems to be a quality game so far. And if you like the first one, I can't see that it's not worth playing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I just don't think it's not essential, I wouldn't say. Like, I think BioShock is like an essential game to play this generation, and I don't think the sequel is.
All right. And there's multiplayer, which probably nobody really cares about.
I haven't touched that at all.
Right. I don't see myself playing that.
Well, I have it on my Gamefly list, and I kind of, you know, did the rigging thing, so it, hopefully that's what comes next. So,
I think it's good. I would very much like to play it. If you like Bioshock, you should definitely check it out. And people were worried that this was just going to be a total fuck-up, and it's safe to say that that's not the case.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, it just doesn't have the same magnitude like the first one did.
RoboCop 2. You know, you watch the first RoboCop, and it's just awesome. It's like a life-changing experience. A man shot down in action, gets re-put together as a super robot cop. I mean, it's just amazing. You can never, you know, you can only feel that for the first time once and experience it. The second one comes out, and look, it's still an awesome robot, super powerful cop, and he kicks the shit out of people, and it's still cool, but it doesn't have the magic of the first one. So it's like RoboCop 2. RoboCop 3.
Nah, that never existed. Written and directed by Frank Miller.
Let's move on to Sony. And we'll talk. All right, I have a game for us to play. Here's the game we're going to play. Now, no cheating, okay? So don't click on any of these links here. Okay. So, of course, we all know that Sony had this fuck up where all the machines wouldn't work for like a day, I guess. Was it 24 hours? Is that how long the whole thing lasted for?
Just the fatties.
Just the old machines. They had a problem with the clock and the leap year, and you know the story. Okay, I'm going to list the headlines from the three major blogs, Kotaku, Destructoid, and Joystick. You have to tell me, you have to match them up, okay? Here are the headlines. PSN is down for many, Sony on the case. That's headline number one.
Okay.
Headline number two is PS3 error, and then the number of the error. The nightmare may be over.
Okay.
And then number three, PS3 clock bug squashed, games are playable.
All right.
Chip, you're up.
I'm up. You said Destructoid, Kotaku, and Joystick are the three?
Yes. Yes.
Number one. Well, let's go from the bottom. The bug squashed one, that sounds like Joystick.
Okay.
Nightmare sounds like Kotaku, and so the last one has to be Destructoid. PSC, the one that's just straightforward is Destructoid.
Okay. Wombat?
I'm going to agree with my esteemed co-host.
Yes. You are correct. I mean, let me ask you a question. Would you classify not being able to play your PS3 for a day as a nightmare?
No.
I'm going to say no.
Now, like, let's say I'm a diabetic and I can't get my insulin, like somehow it's like, you know, fell behind the couch and I can't get it. That is probably a good use of the word nightmare. Not being able to play a video game console for 24 hours, not so much a nightmare. You know, unless it's powering your heart somehow and you can't, you know, your pacemaker stops when your PlayStation 3 dies.
Isn't that a Jason Statham movie?
I think so. I don't know. I just thought that was sort of weird. I don't know why that's a nightmare. I mean, maybe it's a nightmare for Sony. I don't know. Who knows?
It could be a nightmare for both.
I guess so. I don't know. I just sort of was like, oh, nightmare, huh? I hate to see what, like, you know, something really serious happens, what kind of headline that gets.
So were we right? Is that what you told us? We were right?
Yeah, you were right.
Oh, okay.
You were right.
Good.
Sorry. I don't know. It's just, yeah, I guess it didn't affect me at all because I wasn't playing my PS3 anyway. And yeah, I could see that could be annoying for people. But
you're not playing Mag anymore?
I played Mag the other day. But you know what? I think as soon as Battlefield shows up, I'll probably switch over to that just to check it out. Just, you know, how much time do you have to play all these games? That's the problem.
I don't know.
But it does seem like a silly error to have. I don't think it's the end of the world. I mean, compared to the Xbox 360 Red Ring of Death, error, this is a fart in a hurricane, really, who, you know, it's nothing. So
what's this next thing on the outline? You wanted to talk about your testes?
No, I don't know. I wrote down The Tester. It's that reality show on the free reality show on PlayStation Network. I've watched both of the episodes so far, mostly because they're free and in English and short. So I watch them. It's a pretty dumb show, but somehow I'm drawn to it just to see people so excited about getting a shitty job. Although, you know, I guess it could lead to something good if you stick with it for a long time. But unfortunately, the only character that I really cared about was this guy named Barmy, who was just like a complete cheese ball. Like, you know, like it was one of those guys who is totally socially,
socially awkward.
Yeah.
Like a CAD cast user. CAD, GS gamer.
Right. Like user. You're in a room of like 15 people who are all around the same age of you, and you just sit in the corner, you know, reading a book and not talking to anybody. And then you make like these weird statements, and then you get kicked off in the first week and you start crying and you're a man. And you talk about your children and how proud you are that you came this far, even though you got kicked off.
I was just happy
episode.
That he had like a family. Like,
yeah, me too. I was like, wow, all right, that's good. At least he's got that. But it's, you can tell that this is like a fake reality show, because since he's really the only interesting guy on the show, they would never kick him off in the first week if this was like a well produced show.
Oh yeah, no way. You keep that guy around.
You keep that guy into the final four, because really, like, who else do you care about?
Yeah, there's a reason I haven't watched the second episode, besides the fact that I couldn't download it. But
right. I mean, there's the fat black guy, there's the fat white guy, and then there's like the girl with the bad skin who was in that other show, the reality show that I used to watch with the World Championship Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Hey, it's free. That's what, the best thing I could say about it. Let's move on to Microsoft. Did anybody get Deadly Premonition?
We both did.
Yeah, we both bought it.
Did anybody play it?
We both played. Did you play any more?
Or no, I played the first level. Spot? That's it.
Oh, you did? Yeah, me too. Yes. So we both played the same amount. That game is messed up.
What do you mean?
Okay, it's like some sort of, I describe it as kind of like, it's like a fever dream in an Xbox 360 game. It looks like a PlayStation 2 game. It may have the worst graphics I've ever seen in a 360 game.
Right.
It's a single analog game. So the second analog stick kind of moves the camera around, but is also kind of worthless. So it takes a little getting used to playing a game where, you know, it has that Resident Evil 4 style controls.
Okay.
Where you hold the trigger to aim your gun and you can't move and shoot at the same time.
All right.
So you would probably hate both of those things about this game, but I still think you may want to try playing it, especially if you could find it even. I mean, I got it. I had $10 credit at GameStop, so it cost me $9.
Right.
So it was definitely worth picking up, but it's just, I mean, what is it? Jim Sterling gave it a 10 out of 10 on Destructoid. And IGN,
yeah, I read that review.
IGN gave it a 2.
It was really funny to look on Metacritic. I'm sure it's still funny to look on Metacritic, but you saw, at the point, you only saw two reviews. Destructoid, 100, IGN, 20, and they were right next to each other. It was pretty funny.
And if you play the game, you could honestly understand why one person would give it a 10 and another person would give it a 2.
Yeah, totally.
Shipwreck, can you understand why a person would give it a 10?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I think I like this game better than Wombat does, just from when we were talking, because you thought it was terrible. And I don't think it's terrible.
It's not that it's terrible. It just doesn't, it doesn't play very well.
It auto-aims for the butt. Like, what game? Yeah. When you hold down the trigger to auto-aim, it aims at their butts. Yeah, just right for the ass.
Wow.
The cutscenes are hysterical.
Yeah, they're worth the price of admission right there.
Because they're so awful. I mean, I watched the one awkward one where they're sitting at the table.
I guess it's really not a spoiler since it happens within the first 15 minutes of the game. And if you buy this game, good for you. But the guy's on the phone and he's having a conversation and he's talking about psychological profiles of two individuals. And the two individuals that he's talking about are Tom and Jerry from the cartoon.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Man,
I
love,
like,
Tom and Jerry.
The writing knows what they're doing. Like, they're in on the joke. It's great.
And that's what makes the game worth playing.
I gotta check it out.
You kind of do, even though you won't like the combat, you still need to check it out just to watch this game happen.
Yeah. And don't try to kill everybody, because they just keep respawning. This is a game about... Yeah. Shooting a couple people and then running.
It's about keep going forward. So.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I don't know. We somehow skipped past the big Microsoft news and went to the Deadly Premonition news. But there's a new Halo Reach trailer. I guess this is
footage. You probably loved this, though. It's not leaked. They released the official one. So what do you think? you're the guy who's gonna probably who probably masturbated while watching it. So what do you think?
No. First of all, I don't get that excited about Halo, first of
all. It's not that it's Halo, it's that it's Tribes with a Halo name on the box.
Well, they have jetpacks. I don't think it's necessarily Tribes. I mean, Tribes is a, you know, you could fly very far in Tribes. It looks like they're borrowing more from Red Faction with, like, maybe. You have a jetpack, but you can only do so much with it. Like, Tribes, if you take the skinny guy and you put the jet, you know, with a jetpack, you can go real far and you can, like, ski down hills and there's huge maps. I'm still waiting for a new Tribes.
Get Section 8.
Yeah, but you can't. Same thing with the jetpacks on there. They're not that powerful, right?
They look similar to what the Halo Reach jetpacks did. But you could run real fast with them. So,
by the way, I was told that the Tribes is never happening. Somebody emailed me who seems to know. Remember, I was talking about, like, because there was supposed to be like a browser version of Tribes.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Yeah, somebody wrote me back this whole long email, and they basically said, I don't know. I forgot what happened, but it looks like, you know, nothing's happening in the immediate future, which is disappointing.
That is too bad. But now you have Halo Reach, and it looks awesome. That
I only watched it quickly. So what looks awesome about it?
Oh, it just looks. It looks so much like it looks like a refined Halo with new features, which is great. Like,
but isn't that what Halo 3 was?
No, they look less robotic this time around. I mean, it just looks like...
It looks a little more fluid. It looks like there's more people on screen at once. I don't know if that could just be me not paying enough attention, but it looks like there are more players in a multiplayer match. Obviously, new vehicles is always cool. Jetpacks are cool.
Yeah, the Spartans could do... There was at least one of them doing like a forward roll to dodge. Yeah, I mean, it just there's assassination moves. It just looks awesome.
What's an assassination move? Just an animation when you melee somebody from behind? Is that what that is?
It could be, but it looks a lot better than just like going up and just hitting somebody in the back of the head.
But since I don't have ODST, so I will probably never find out what the beta's like.
Maybe you'll complain on Twitter just like you did with Toy Soldiers and somebody will give you a code.
Exactly. You know what? Did it work?
Right. It did.
So go to hell.
No, thanks.
Sure. Go to the World of Duty.
Right. I'm constantly in a World of Duty. I don't need to go there. It comes to me. Yeah, so I'm excited. Look, I'm very excited for the Halo Reach beta and checking it out. I do like jetpacks. You're right. But I wish they were super jetpacks where you could really fly. But
you
that
know,
would change
you know, game. You complain for years that all you want is jetpacks. Someone gives you jetpacks. You want bigger jetpacks.
Someone's
going to give you bigger jetpacks, and you're going to complain about something else.
I think it's not that I want jetpacks. It's that I want Tribes. That gameplay was just awesome because there's really no first-person shooter like that at all where you can really, like, get some good distance on a jetpack and be shooting people, you know, in midair, you know, from way high up and, you know, with the whole mortars.
Actually,
and the
fatties. You know what game you could kind of do that in?
What?
Was Shadowrun.
No, it's not like that. I know Shadowrun.
I'm just saying, you could kind of do
it. I know Shadowrun, and you, sir, are no tribes.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Tribes, and you, sir, are no tribes.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, is this Nintendo thing from last week?
It is kind of, but it's this week too because it's Endless Ocean Blue World, which I literally slept on last week. I talked right. about how slow it was. I put about a half hour of it beforehand when I talked
hey,
about it last
check
week.
Check out that jellyfish.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's when we were making fun of Underwater Talking.
Yes.
But
right.
You
yes.
played a little more and you found some funny things in this game, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm about 8.5-9 hours into it now. This thing is addicting. Like. Anybody who is OCD in the least bit about just collecting things, there is so much to collect in this game. But what I found funny is the similarities that has to Mass Effect. You're like building this team of different skills so you can go out and do different tasks underneath the water with all these fish. But I've got my... questionably maybe underage sidekick.
Does she play basketball?
I don't know if she's into basketball or not. She wears her ponytail on the side, so Mrs. Shipwreck definitely thinks she's underage. But she was kind of like Kelly Like, she was the one I was going to get with to begin with. But then I met Hot Doctor, and she's the one I'm going to bang. That's the one I'm going to go for. And I have dog. I found a dog that was washed up ashore, and it's got...
Wait, can you really bang the girls in this game?
No, I don't know. I'm not only 8 hours in. I mean, I'm sure that's...
Can you bang the dog?
Of course you can.
Well, there's Paragon and Renegade choices in this game.
No.
I'm serious. They're great, though. So you can come out of the water and surface. So I surfaced up on this this little island, and there's this lizard, and I take a picture of this lizard, and there's some, like, I don't know, some kind of birds or something. But then I find this dog just, like, stranded on this island out here, and I walk up to it, and it gives me a choice. Save dog or leave dog here.
Why would you leave the dog there?
Just a cruel bastard. I mean, I think
you're
playing...
a dick.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the choice was kill dog or save dog.
Eat dog or save or dog.
Kick dog.
Yeah, and there's a mission in the game where Hot Doctor asks to come with you. And your two choices are, is this a good idea? And isn't this a bad idea?
Sounds great.
Yeah. But for $30 with the mic that you'll never use, it's a good game. Like, serious. Like, it's unlike anything out there, really, except for maybe the first game.
Gotcha.
Looking forward to your review.
Yes.
Do we need to talk about this, or are we going right into...
I want to just give a shout-out to this. And
every section this week is, do we really need to talk about this? Or
we do.
Or is this from last week's outline?
No, this is new. This is Transformers G1 Awakening for the iPhone just came out. Now, Shipwreck, you wrote a review for this for, like, regular phone, right?
No, I didn't write a review for it. I broke the news that it was going to come out because I was at a Transformers convention where they debuted it.
Okay. Did you buy the game, the iPhone game?
I haven't yet.
Oh, I bought it.
It's a good game.
It is good. I'm quite far in it, and it's getting very hard. If you love the original Transformers, not the retarded...
You're quite far, and it's getting very hard?
Isn't that... I mean, that's what happens with games, right?
Oh, with games.
Are you making a sexual joke?
It was an innuendo joke.
It's very subtle.
Thank you. It's what I do.
Anyway, my point is this, and I don't want to say too much about it, but if it's a, you know, it's an RTS game, very simple, very easy to figure out. If you like the original Transformers and not the retarded movie Transformers, then it's probably worth your $5 just to be able to, you know, see all your friends like Optimus Prime and Blaster and Jetfire and Grimlock and all the bad guys are in there too. It's fun, and it works well on the iPhone. $5, yes, it's sort of high in the iPhone hierarchy of game pricing, but in the reality, $5 for a Transformers game is pretty good, I think.
So. Yeah, it's like Advance Wars and with Transformers characters.
But way more simple.
Yeah, it's more simple than that, but that's what you want on a phone.
Right, exactly. And I like it. I recommend it. All right, let's do the CAG bag and finish up, and then we will move into our Mass Effect Super Roundtable. Quick CAG bag, Wombat and Shipwreck. Macklershed writes in, he says, so I ran out of new stuff to listen to and for shits and giggles went back and listened to the May 24th, 2006 episode of the CAG cast. A listener wrote in to ask, would sandbox style gaming help in the case of superhero games? To which, after some discussion of possibilities for various games, Wombat replied, I think what a Batman game needs to be is just a Splinter Cell with a Batman costume. Put a Batman costume on Sam Fisher and you have the best game ever made. If you have Batman stalking Killer Croc in the sewers in a Splinter style game, that would be awesome. And he goes on to say that you invented Arkham Asylum.
That's true, I did.
Except you didn't do any of the work except talk about it for 30 seconds.
He's a pitch man.
What else do you need to do?
Big ideas. Big ideas.
Yeah. Since Wombat was able to determine successfully what makes a good Batman game, I'm wondering if he has any ideas on what would make the inevitable sequel to Arkham Asylum a hit. Also, are there any other superhero games you'd like to see with the lead character or superhero that isn't generally discussed or well-known by the mainstream?
I think, I mean, to make a successful sequel to Arkham Asylum doesn't take much. It just needs to be like Arkham Asylum, just refined and, you know, in a different location. It shouldn't be in Arkham Asylum again.
More open world in that maybe not open world in the truest sense, but open world in that you're not just in one.
Well, I like the idea of hub to mission as opposed to flat out open world.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because I think even Arkham Asylum, it was more of a hub world with missions than it was straight ahead open world. The world opened up as you did the missions.
But it wasn't much of a world. It was your world was Arkham Asylum.
Yeah. And I think if you do it right, I mean, you know, you're talking Gotham City, and Gotham City is a pretty big city, and there's lots of things you can do, whether it be, you know, the Joker or whomever the lead villain is in the sequel takes over the Gotham City police station and prison. Mm-hmm. That could be cool. Gotham Penitentiary.
More locations, I think, would be nice.
I don't want to go locations. In between the locations, really, though. I don't want to just be Batman walking around the streets.
No, I don't think you would. I don't think there would be Batman. I think Batman walking around the streets is a bad idea, too.
What about Batman driving in the Batmobile around the streets?
It would have to be limited. I don't know if I really want to play. I don't want a driving game. As much as I like Batman and I think Batmobile is cool, I don't want a driving game.
What about Batman just magically appears at these different locations after a loading screen?
And then he kicks some dude's ass a couple of times? Yeah, I'm down with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, even hey, look, now Batman's in a new creepy location. Oh, he's going to kick someone's ass.
Right. Oh, and now he's in the amusement park.
Batman's at the old amusement park. Oh, look, he's in the rundown aquarium. Why is there a shark in that tank? Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's Sharkaton. Isn't that one of the bad guys?
No,
Sharkaton?
There's no. At the aquarium, you could either have the penguin or Mr. Freeze. It really depends on where they go with the aquarium.
Black Manta.
Or Black... No, that would be the Aquaman game if they ever decided to make a good Aquaman game, which is possible. Right. I mean,
well, he wants to know what other lead character superhero game.
I think there's a lot of good DC characters that have yet to have a good game. I mean, Marvel, I guess, has been somewhat more successful with the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, although Muwatu was god-awful.
What about me? I want to go.
Yes. And Black Manta should have his own game, too. Black Manta in the Search for Atlantis.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Bootstrap Will asks, do you feel Microsoft has done exactly what they've set out to do all those years ago and take a large hold of the gaming market away from Sony? With quite a hefty lead in console sales, do you feel Sony will ever close that gap with exclusives like God of War 3 and Heavy Rain? The PS3 Slim seemed to have helped sales, but only for a couple months. Over here in the UK, I see game advertisements such as Modern Warfare 2 and Final Fantasy 13 all for the 360, and PlayStation only advertising smaller games such as Need for Speed and WWE. Will Microsoft prevail or will Sony climb back? Well, to answer the first question, I think Microsoft's got to feel incredibly successful because Sony was like basically the only game in town. And Microsoft's whole goal, I mean, I've talked to someone, I shouldn't mention their name, but who used to work for Microsoft for Xbox. And they said, look, Microsoft didn't need to win. Winning was never really the goal. The goal was to get market share, a significant amount of market share, so that no one company is dominating the living room. Because you remember, Microsoft's really a software company. They want to have you running their software in your living room. They don't want like Sony to be owning like the media space in your living room, where Sony gets to sell you all the different content.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, so they've done it. Microsoft is successful.
They're completely
successful.
There's no winner. There's no loser.
In their eyes, they've won. They've accomplished what they've set out to do. Even if they're not number one, they are a major player. They have a major they have a big market share. They've won.
Yes, and you've said that on like three other shows.
The whole story
that you just told, you've said on at least three other shows.
All right, John writes in. He wants to know how hard it is to buy weed.
I can't even say who said this to me.
Right. You just stepped on my joke, by the way. Thank you.
No problem. What's next?
Let's see. Okay, Glock wants to know what comes next: GPD's baby number 2, Wombat's baby number 2, or Shipwreck's baby number 1. He thinks Wombat baby number 2. I can tell you, there's not going to be GPD baby number 2.
Oh, I think you should have another one.
I'm very selfish. I can't. You know, it's hard enough for me to make time for baby number 1.
Yeah, ours isn't coming anytime soon. So
Wombat. I think Wombat number 2.
I'll get started.
I know you're stockpiling in tissues, I heard, right now. I don't know why you save them, though.
Oh, because you never know.
You never know when you're going to run out.
Yeah, and, you know, when they're dry, you can mold them into animals.
Crunchy animals. Captain, I guess one last question, and then we'll get out of here. Captain Joel says, "Hey, Cheapy Ship and Wombat, what do you guys think of Activision closing down the development of the fan-made sequel to King's Quest?" I did some reading about this, and one guy, and I forgot the website that I read this off of, but he basically had a very good point. He said, okay, like, you know, the company that I guess Vivendi owned King's Quest, and they let these group of guys make a fan-made King's Quest game, but now Activision owns it, and they want to protect their intellectual property, and to do that, you can't just give away the license to people to make their own fan games. Yeah. That's how you lose your property. I mean, from a legal standpoint, you just can't do that.
Right. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. I mean, sure, Activision is the big bad company on all of these stories, but they are a company that's trying to make money and protect their IPs, and that's what all this is. I mean,
and they're a public company, and they have a duty to their shareholders to do that.
I said duty again.
I think it's a crime, actually, if you don't. They could be sued for, I don't know, mismanagement or something.
They could. They could. It's theoretically.
I'm trying to find the. I wish I knew this guy's website so I can give him a plug, but I can't remember. But this person, whoever he is, made a good point. He said, "Look, you make this King's Quest game. If it's any good, just change the names and everything. It doesn't have to be King's Quest."
Well, that was going to be my question. I'm like, what if you just change the name of it from King's Quest to
Super Quest.
Yeah, Super Quest or Prince's Journey.
Sharkaton.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're dealing with a character here. Like, King's Quest didn't have, like, a persistent universe. It was just a bunch of different stories.
Yeah, I think that should be fine. So, yeah, I mean, it's just business, and I don't think, look, it's easy to pile on the Activision hate wagon, but I don't know. They sort of didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, they have good lawyers.
Yes.
They have, well, yeah.
Speaking of wagons, you want to get on the Mass Effect wagon?
Let's get on the Mass Effect wagon. So let's end the show now, because people may not want to, you know.
Yeah, if you haven't played Mass Effect, you're going to want to stop listening at this point. You got a good hour and 22 minute show. So
yes.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about the Mass Effect. It's a video game on the Xbox 360. We all played it and enjoyed it. Okay, it's been a great show.
I gave Wombat a directive this week. I said, you only have to do one thing this week, and that is you have to lead the Mass Effect 2 spoiler-filled discussion, because we've all finished the game now.
So why are you still yakking?
Wombat's been busting my balls weeks now. What?
Why are you still talking?
Go ahead, Wombat.
Thank you. So thank you all for listening to the Mass Effect portion of the show. Before we get started, just a quick question for my two companions on this adventure. What did you guys think? Just briefly, what did you think of the game itself? Cheapy?
I thought it was an excellent game. It was 30 hours or so of really a great story, characters who you can sort of, you can care about. It looked great. The action parts were great. The dialogue was great. It's definitely one of my favorite games of recent memory, if not my most favorite game of recent memory. It was a lot of fun. It was not frustrating at all. It has all the elements of a fantastic game.
That's an excellent point. On the line from Ohio, I have Shipwreck. Shipwreck, what did you think of Mass Effect 2?
Hated it. It's one of my favorite games ever. I mean, he's right about all the stuff that he just said. Let's get into more
Mass
interesting
Effect,
questions.
What's interesting about this is that we all consider it to be not just one of our favorite games of recent time, but maybe one of our favorite games ever. I thoroughly was blown away by the game. It's no secret. It's the only thing I've played since I bought it. And Toy Soldiers and Sonic Tennis. But really,
and Deadly Premonition.
Yes, but the only game I've put real time in has been Mass Effect 2 on a first playthrough, and then again on a second playthrough as a paragon and a renegade type character. And really the question that I'm going to start this with is, is the game good or is it important or is it both? And if it is important, what do you think makes it important? Not just what do you think makes it important as a video game to the industry?
I think you let Shipwreck take this one first.
All right. I would say that it is an important game, primarily because it blurs the line between action and RPG in a way that nothing is really successfully done to this extent. I say that because in the past you've had action RPGs, but they've still relied heavily on certain systems of allocating skill points and doing all that, whereas this one is, it's much more similar to what you would find in like a God of War or Ninja Gaiden, where you're just like, sure, you're changing a little bit of your stats or your abilities, but you're not going into these big, long lists of stuff and really building up your characters. But at the same time, the presentation between the characters and the interactions that you have with them make the game feel incredibly important while you're playing it.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go so far to say as the game is important. I mean, it is an excellent game. They did prove that you can have an RPG experience and still take out all the sort of the minutia that can make playing a game like that sort of a little bit more work than it needs to be. I mean, look at Borderlands, which I've gone back to and been playing a lot of, and that's, you know, that's, they say it's an RPG first person shooter, so in a way it's, you know, it's sort of somewhat similar to Mass Effect. I find, like, you know, the inventory in that game and, you know, the navigation in that game, it's very cumbersome. It takes a lot of the fun out of the game. It slows the game down a lot. Like, I'm constantly looking through all my shit to see which is better. Mass Effect came up with a way to that you can still upgrade your weapons and stuff and armor and do it very easily and not have to, like, spend time pouring through, you know, inventory screens. So I don't know if that makes the game important, but it did make it more fun for me.
Well, what about the way it uses save files from a previous game? The way that it's definitely a sequel, there's no doubt about that, but in also in many ways it is an expansion of the story. It's an expansion of your character, and it takes a lot from what you previously played. I can't think of any game I played that really has done that as well. And I think what they did was very ambitious, and I think it is a game changer, so to speak, on what other companies can and probably should do with their sequels. And I think that makes it important. I think the idea that an RPG doesn't have to be an RPG to be an RPG, if that makes any sense to anyone that isn't me, is also very important. I think that's kind of what Shipwreck and you were talking about. I think the idea of what is a role-playing game in today's age is not the same as what is a role-playing game even as little as 2 years ago. So
It depends on your definition of role-playing game. I don't know if I consider this a role-playing game, really. I think sort of turn-based action and leveling up individual characters and big inventory screens, or like a game like, well, you know, even like the Baldur's Gates, those Dungeons and Dragons types games. But I guess those are really basically the same thing.
It's really hard to put a genre on this. I think that's one of the reasons it's so, like, I don't know, unique.
It's an adventure game.
It is an adventure. It's no different than, I would say, maybe even like Legend of Zelda, where a lot of people can make the argument that that's an RPG. And in many ways, Zelda is an RPG. But so is Mass Effect in that argument. But for those people that would argue that, say, Zelda isn't an RPG, I think that same argument holds true for Mass Effect 2.
Yeah. There's something to be said about, like, the emotional connection that you have with these characters, too. Like, Mass Effect 2, the other games that I've played since then, they feel kind of lacking in the character department. Like Heavy Rain, sure, they did a pretty good job at the characters and everything there. But then I get to like a BioShock and BioShock 2, and I just don't feel the connection with the characters there anymore.
I think
they've upped the ante.
Yeah. What I felt from Mass Effect 2, and this again could also be a just me thing, is you start to even infer things about the characters, where you're even building, you're fleshing them out in your own brain and things that aren't even in the game, like why you want to take those party members with you.
I fleshed out Miranda.
I bet you did. I fleshed out Tali. But, you know, it's like, oh, I want to take Tali with me and I want to take Grunt with me because I know that they're the most loyal. Even though all my characters are loyal, I just feel as though they're the most loyal. Because I've made that decision. That they're the ones who have my back the best.
See, not all of my characters were loyal because I chose for them not to be loyal.
Which is interesting because, I mean, I haven't finished my second playthrough yet. I still have a couple of loyalty missions to do. But on my first playthrough, I played as Paragon could be, and I wound up with everyone being loyal. But you also played as a Paragon, but not everyone was loyal.
Right. I don't think there's one. Well, we're talking about spoilers, so I can say this.
Go nuts.
Yeah, go nuts.
I don't think it's either not possible. It's very hard to have enough Paragon to get through those conversations where Miranda and Jack have the fight. Like if you haven't imported a save file, I think it's very difficult to have your Paragon up high enough to persuade both of them that they're like,
One of them to not hate you.
Right.
Jack, I made up my mind that I was going to bang Miranda. So I chose to Miranda's side. In fact, by accident, I chose Jack's side the first time. And I was like, oh no, Miranda won't even talk to me. So I went back to an earlier save and went through the whole thing again so I could bang Miranda.
Yeah, see,
but super programmer John told me that I guess there's some armor that improves your
the Inferno armor.
Improves what?
Your speech.
Your speech.
Yeah.
And he said when he put that armor on, he was able to convince whatever woman hated him to be his friend again.
Okay. I don't have that armor.
Oh, that's too bad. In both my playthroughs, the first playthrough I played through, I had was a high enough Paragon points to I guess defuse the argument. My second playthrough as a renegade, I had enough renegade points to defuse that argument.
Okay. So
I had two of those because there's two instances where that can happen, and I made it through both. You know, keeping loyalty. There's the Jack Miranda fight, and I feel like I was the only one that had the Tali Legion fight. Or did you guys have that?
I had that. I just had enough to get through that one.
Ah.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, but I Zaid, I did not want him to be loyal. I punched him in the face.
You did?
Yeah. I didn't like that guy.
You didn't like him?
No, it didn't make sense.
You just hated
with my
him.
Character. He was like, why would you like him?
You know what's interesting is that it tells you something about the game, and because you know everyone knows Shipwreck's pretty anal when it comes to playing his games, and he likes to go for completion. And you were so into the characters and the story of the game that you forego your chance at that. Just so you could punch a fake guy in the face.
Which would be funny because we all know that in Mass Effect 3, there's going to be repercussions to you punching him in the face.
He seemed all right with it. He just wasn't loyal.
Right. He didn't mind getting punched in the face?
Yeah, he looked at me kind of funny, but he knew not to mess with me. So
right. I have to say that the right trigger actions, though, for the most part, are hysterical.
Yeah.
Did you do any of the renegade actions when you were...
I did. I put the... I guess some sort of electrical tool in a guy's back.
Yep, yeah, that one's pretty awesome. Yep. Did you push the guy through the window?
No, but we saw that at the E3 demo.
Oh yeah, that was funny as hell because I did that. I was pretty lucky to have never seen that before. I thought my wife and I were both sitting on the couch and the thing came up and it was during my renegade and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna pull it. Let's see what happens. And I pushed the guy through the window and she thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Mrs. Chibi did not like when I would pull the right trigger.
Well, you know, I think this may be a drawback to the game, but once you make a decision on what kind of character you are, you really do need to stick with it.
But not really, though. Are you really punished that much? I mean, okay, so sometimes you won't have conversation options available, and it's okay, you may not be able to defuse like a fight like the Jack and Miranda fight, but other than that...
Yeah, I ended the game and I was 100% Paragon, and I was about... a third renegade, I think. So
that's pretty mixed, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just whatever I thought the right decision was what I went with. I didn't care whether it was Paragon or not.
Right,
yeah. And I think
a guy in the face.
I think the other maybe problem with the game is I really do think you lose something by not having finished Mass Effect 1. I think that it would be a very different game for you, Shipwreck, if you had that save file to play from.
Well, let me ask you this, and here, well, it's really more of a statement and a suggestion for to the developers. I played Mass Effect 1 a long time ago. You know, right when it came out, I played it and I beat it within like the first couple of weeks that it came out. I don't remember that much of it, you know? And so I know a lot of people were crowing about how well they used your save file, and like, I didn't remember any of that shit. So it didn't really do that much for me. And I hope that in the next one, they realize that several years have passed in our real lives. We may not, all this shit may not be fresh
in
our minds.
I think we're going to get the next one sooner than later.
Okay. Well,
I wouldn't be surprised if it came out a year from now or sooner.
They should start the game off like with a little highlight reel from the last games, just to remind you about everything.
They sort of do when you start off on the Normandy and they have the characters there.
But they don't.
No, not really. I think what Chibi's talking about is maybe some of the big decisions that you made. Just take those cutscenes.
They do show you. Well, they show you what decisions you made in like a chart. At
Where?
The beginning, when you start your game, it tells you which of your crew members died, whether you let the council live or die.
Yeah, that's just text on a screen.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, I'm talking about like if they did like a previously on Mass Effect type of thing where they showed
you
the big
I know what
scenes.
He's saying. I'm just saying that's what they show.
And the story
I would have liked
too. Like,
that,
there's no.
I would have liked if when you started the game and you weren't taking it from a save file. If they let you just make those choices the beginning. They let you decide whether or not you let the council live or die?
Yeah, all
they
that
ask
stuff.
You questions
they ask
when
you
you're
all
in
the
that...
same questions. They just don't correct you if you like they do on your if you brought in a save file.
I just farted, by the way. Remember the GBD promise?
That's how you create whatever your story is.
Gotcha. Because on my playthrough as a renegade, the council's dead. And I don't remember picking that choice.
All right. Yeah. See, it's not like I'm coming into it blind either. Like, I played a lot of Mass Effect 1. I just never finished it.
You just never finished it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I finished it, and I just didn't remember the story, and it would have been nice. Because there's no real background to the story in this game.
I'll tell you what, though, for Mass Effect 2, if you try to go back and play Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 1 sucks.
Right. But it was a great game.
Yeah. It feels like ass.
Right.
Yeah, well, I know Mrs. Shipwreck loved Mass Effect 2, and she didn't play Mass Effect 1 at all, so.
Yeah, no, Mass Effect, I mean, it's great. Whether you play the first one or not, you're still going to love the game. I'm just saying, I think you get something from having that save file, having those people, because you run into everybody, anyone that was
I didn't remember them. Like, I had no idea who they were, because it wasn't
fresh. It would sometimes take me, like, a little bit into the conversation for, you remember you saved the Rachni? I'm like, I remember that. Sure.
Yeah, I didn't know what the Rachni was. I just didn't remember. Like,
See, I remember a lot of it.
I was probably very high when I played the first game.
Yeah, I remember a lot of it, and I didn't even finish it. Like, I was very familiar with the characters. But, are we going to the next question here?
We could go. I was going to talk about, let's talk about linear gameplay in an open world. That was the topic that I put on there that I think is interesting. And this touches back to something we already talked about in this show, even with Arkham Asylum. And I think this is something that works better than the straight ahead sandbox game, is the illusion of a sandbox game, because I don't think Mass Effect 2 is an open world game.
Oh, it's definitely not. It's a hub game.
The ship is your hub.
And exactly. And I think the hub game is a much better way to go. That was really my opinion on that. And I didn't know if you guys agreed, disagreed, if you would rather have a sandbox game or a hub world or straight ahead levels.
Well, I have a definite opinion, and I know it would be difficult to implement. And I think there's an easy way that they can make this into an open world game. If there's stuff that can happen, I mean, because basically when you're on the galaxy map, I mean, that's really just it's a level select and loading screen, you know,
like selecting your level in Mega Man.
Yeah, except you're flying a ship around to make your options. So what they could do, and I would love to see this, and I always talk about one of my favorite games, Starflight. The coolest thing about Starflight was, you know, you're flying your ship around in space and you run into alien races. And you can have ship-to-ship battles with them, and you can communicate with them, and they react based on, like, you know, if you go into a conversation, a ship-to-ship communication, and your shields are up, those people will be more hostile to you, and you have a better chance of starting a fight. You know, just like Star Trek. If they could work that into Mass Effect somehow, That would be awesome. I mean, I don't think we're going to see ship-to-ship combat or anything like that, but boy, that's what's missing. That's really the only thing that's missing from Mass Effect is, like, you know, using the ships, being on the ship's bridge and really controlling the ship, getting into space battles, communicating with aliens. I mean, anyone who plays Starfleet knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Now, what about the anomalies on planets? Did you think there was enough? Did you think they were varied?
Oh, they were definitely
varied. I have to
go back
and do them.
Yeah.
There were no two that were the same at all.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are stronger than others, but I think that's actually a good thing, because...
Yeah. The fog beacon one, that was kind of lame.
Yeah.
And protecting the crates was pretty lame.
Yeah, that was the lamest one, the protecting the crates.
That was easily the lamest one. And that's one that they give you, too. You just have to do that mission with the Patriarch. If either of you did the Patriarch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I protected some crates.
Yeah,
something.
I definitely
maybe.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I did like the one where you have to keep putting the battery in the mech and he breaks up the mountain.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
I
like
that
one. Yeah.
I got to go back and do those. See, I wanted to finish the game and I figured, you know.
And the big tipping over ship is pretty badass.
Yeah, yeah. That one's pretty cool. There's another one that's almost like that as well. I can't remember what it was, but they were similar to where there wasn't any fighting. You were just kind of like walking around.
Well, there's the Normandy crash site.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
Yep.
Yeah. Which I thought was okay. It was a little long.
It's a little boring walking around looking for pieces of it.
Yeah.
Why are these people's dog tags in crates, too?
Because
I didn't get an achievement point for collecting all of them. That's what I really wanted.
Exactly. It's just, and that's supposed to be your downloadable content. So.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's more free DLC coming.
There
Where
is the Hammerhead. End of the month.
My goodness. End of the month, okay.
Yeah.
So right when all the Dragon Age content comes out.
Exactly. So what would you change? What's wrong with the game?
I just told you, the ship, more ship-to-ship stuff, some ship-to-ship stuff like Starfleet. That's really my only complaint, I think.
Would you like more weapons, more armor, or do you think that they actually got it right with the amount?
There was a lot. I mean, I always had, how many different weapons are you going to use?
Well, what class did you use?
I took, what is it, Vanguard is the one that's like the soldier who has biotics, I think.
I think.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. That
yeah.
I had the, I had the charge and I had pull.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I was an infiltrator. So I had the cloaking and I had the sniper rifle.
My first playthrough, I was the soldier, which is actually pretty cool because you get all the different types of ammo. And this, my second playthrough, I was the what is it? The one Sentinel? Is that one? That's one, right? And he has the shield, which is pretty cool. With the armor. You know, he gets over armor.
I'm not Vanguard.
Huh?
I'm not Vanguard. I just looked up Vanguard.
Oh, okay.
What is it then?
I don't know. It has the yellow overshield, which is pretty cool. And warp.
Oh, wait. Sorry. I was looking at Mass Effect 1.
Yeah, I mean, there's little things that I think could still be improved even in the conversation. Like if you ask somebody something and they say the exact same thing back again.
Happy to be here. I was handpicked.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, no. We already did this, Kelly. Let's just let me know if there's any messages. We're good.
I'd embrace you, my commander. I'd let you.
So I think they could. I understand for maybe keeping that in there for like mission specific objectives that they have to communicate to you. Like maybe you've forgotten those. But
yeah, just get rid of the option. Like I shouldn't be able to say the same three. Ask Kelly the same three questions.
Right.
In a 30-hour game, over and over and over and over again.
Right. And I tried to go back to Miranda after I banged her, and you had that You had the same conversation. That's like, Oh, you still want to do this? And, well, when it's quiet, I'll come and see you. Like, hey, I already banged you.
Yeah. Well,
why are we having this conversation?
You gave her a booty call afterwards, right?
I didn't. You told me, though, that there's a way to do it, and I didn't.
Yeah, I need to do that in my game, too. You could use the intercom in your room, right? Because I haven't done
that. Yes.
Yeah, I need to do that. When the DLC comes out and I go back to playing as Wombat Shepherd, Super Paragon, Then I'll have Tali come into my room, and I'll make her dance for me.
Right.
Yeah. Tali's good. I like Tali.
I do, too. She's very nice, and she wants you a little more than you want her, as opposed to
which is
Miranda.
Always a good thing.
Yeah.
Do you unzip her suit at all? Like, what's up with that?
You take off her helmet?
Yeah, you take her mask. Yeah.
Oh. And he goes, and you take off her clothes?
Yeah.
Well, you don't see it, but yeah.
No, but no. She jumps.
Miranda,
she jumps
you,
on you.
You see her space bra.
Her space, anti-gravity? Her suit and you see, she has an anti-gravity bra?
No, I'm not even kidding. There's a space bra.
Does it say space bra on it? On the back?
No. All right, what else, Wombat? Let's keep this moving. Here.
What else, Wombat? Excuse me. Who is your favorite character?
Morden.
Really?
Yeah,
did you get him to sing?
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
How do you get him to sing?
If you talk to him enough, he tells you about the time he was in Gilbert and Sullivan. Gilbert and Sullivan. Pirates of Penzance. How he was a member of the pirate in that opera, and then he sings a little bit of it. And it's very funny. He sings, "I am the very model of a modern major general." But he says Solarian scientist. "I am the very model of a Solarian scientist," or something like that.
Scientist Solarian.
Yes, scientist Solarian. Thank you.
Yes. So Did you talk to him before you had had sex with Tali too?
No, why? What does he say?
Oh, he tells you all about protection and stuff.
Oh no, I didn't do that.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, he's the best character in the game.
See, I like the assassin dude. The
he's depressing.
He is, but he's kind of badass. Yeah. He's like Boba Fett.
Yeah, I like Miranda. Miranda, you know, has some deep daddy issues, which made her easily accessible.
No. Everyone in the game has some deep-seated parental issues. Either they're the bad parent or they had bad parents.
Yeah,
that's right.
I thought that was a little weird.
It was weird, and it was awkward, and it makes me think about the people who made this game and their lack of stable family lives.
Yeah, like, I thought the Thane and the... oh gosh, what's her name? The
Samara.
Samara. I thought their stories were a little bit too
similar.
Too similar there. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I like Samara's better than Thane's.
Well, yeah. Thane's is another one I didn't get loyal.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. No, Thane. Yeah. I didn't have any problem with that. But it was like, yeah. But it is. It's a little sappy, and it's like, oh, bad son, bad daughter, bad father. Jacob's bad father. Who else?
That one I liked. I liked Jacob's bad father.
I liked the mission. It was like really, how many bad parents are in the future? Parenting just isn't really important.
Yeah, well, when you're traveling through the galaxy, you don't really have time to be a good parent.
Like those two people who were always in the bunk room.
Yeah, what? I already kicked them off the ship long ago. Like they just do nothing. They just sit in there and talk. Wasn't your brother on that planet?
Isn't your family there? Did they get out in time?
Didn't you just ask me that like an hour ago?
What do you do here? I'm the captain of the ship. A commander, not the captain. You're the commander of the ship.
Right.
Yes. With Joker.
Yeah. So the like we all use the super laser gun mostly, right? For your heavy weapon.
I like the rocket launcher. It's actually effective
because the nuke.
No, the just standard rocket launcher.
Okay.
Can I tell you, I could not fire a single shot with a nuke. What the hell is the trick?
You have to have over 100%, and you got to hold that trigger down for way too long.
100% what?
It tells you. It's usually like 190 when you start off or something around there. At least it was for me. And then
I never had it.
It just says it right there on the screen. But
it always said like 75 or 80. So I never.
Oh, that would be why, because you didn't have enough ammo.
Yeah.
Mm. I use the laser.
Yeah. The laser's good, though. The laser works.
I took down the Terminator at the end almost in one shot with the nuke.
Yeah, how bad is that end boss, by the way?
I'm fine with it.
You're playing this amazing game, and trust me, it's all about the journey, not the destination. But when did it turn into Contra?
Right. It's not really a... I don't know. I mean, I guess technically he's an end boss, but it's really just a big guy that you fight towards the end of the game.
And did you blow the ship up, or did you just take out everyone inside and keep the technology for...
I kept it.
Oh,
really?
I blew it up. I blew it up. That's a bad move, keeping it. That's yeah. going to be bad business.
You're just asking.
Dude, the elusive man really was very convincing.
Well, you know, I mean, and it sounds cliche and cheesy, but how good is Martin Sheen, by the way, voice acting wise?
He was good.
He's good.
Everybody was good.
What's up with his eyes?
I know, cool right? Eyes. I want to know more about that. I want bionic eyes. How do I get those?
And where is he sitting at that he's just like outside of that exploding sun the whole time?
I don't know.
That's just like it's his wallpaper. It's, he has a big TV there.
It's very elusive, whatever it is. Maybe the worst name for a character?
The Elusive Man? Yeah, that is pretty awful.
I can't think of a name for him. Well, which character? You know, the guy. The guy from Cerebus. He's, you know, he's elusive. That's all I got.
You should have called him Ricky, I think. Would have been good.
Ricky, yes. Yeah. Ricky the Elusive Man?
No, just Ricky.
Commander Shepard.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind the fight at the end. I thought I had sufficient tension in the whole end game there. I liked how you got to you put together your squad and you had to choose who did what. I didn't lose it. I looked and all you guys, everybody, I mean, all three of us all had all of our guys survive.
You almost have to not pay attention to get everybody through. Like, unless somebody dies, like, I don't know if they can die just through the action in the
I would say the
game,
only one where you may stand a chance of making the wrong choice would be who has to escort the crew back to the Normandy.
Who did you pick?
I picked Jacob.
Yeah, me too.
I picked Legion.
I picked Jacob because if Jacob died, I wouldn't have cared.
Because you hate black people?
Because Kanye West. Why does Jacob look just like Kanye West?
No, I picked him because I felt he was like, he's like a pretty like noble guy and that he would, you know, he would get the job done.
I figured it was.
And I hate black people.
And you know why? Because he was the most generic. And I'm like, oh, generic guy could lead back the crew.
Yeah.
He's like
that
part
was my,
of the
sort
crew.
Of my feeling.
Yeah.
Too.
He was very generic. There was nothing special about him. As opposed to, you know, who commanded my second team. It was always Garrus. Always.
Don't say that to Mrs. Shipwreck. She made sweet love to him.
Yeah
there's something about Jacob, I think, still. Like,
no, there's nothing about Jacob. Jacob is
no,
boring.
He's got the whole good soldier thing going on.
He may be a black man, but he is vanilla.
Did
you notice
Garrus.
That he became like more jive talking towards the end of the game?
Jive
talking? Jive
yeah, talk? like no, at the beginning he's just like normal talking guy, but then like towards the end of the game they're all like smacking fists and like bumping hands and like
I think that's him becoming more familiar with you and becoming your friend as opposed to him being just a soldier that's hired to be on your ship.
Yeah, I mean I remember when I chose him to bring the other crew members back to the ship, he was like, "Yo man, I am bringing these bitches back. What the fuck you talking about?"
is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And then he said, "Ain't no thing like a chicken wing."
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, I chose Garrus for all the like squad leadership.
Yeah,
duties
because he's the only person on your team who has any experience commanding a squad.
Right, even though he lost all of the squad.
But that's because there was a traitor. There was a traitor.
Right, and everybody else would be like a bad choice. You're not going to choose Grunt because he's dumb. You're not going to choose a robot because he's a robot. You're not going to choose Jack.
Don't choose a robot because it's a robot.
Well, because a robot's not going to lead somebody. Jack is like crazy. You can't choose Jack. Who else?
Zaid, you could potentially think that he.
Yeah,
might
but he's
be
a little too angry, so you can't really choose him. He's a good like gun. You don't want to choose him for anything but being a gun.
I just wanted to kick him off the side somewhere.
Right. So I heard that Shepard can die at the end.
Yeah, I saw the clip on the YouTube. He misses the jump.
And then it's the game ends, huh?
Basically, I guess.
And then how do you play the next game?
I don't know. Maybe they bring.
I guess you can't import.
Yeah, you can't import
Lazarus 2.
I was still concerned there. Say at the end, like when everybody was just like sliding off ledges and stuff. Like they had me going as like, oh no, don't lose that person now.
Like, right. Yeah. Me too. I was like, oh Miranda. I had Miranda. It's like, oh no, I just banged you. You can't die.
Yeah. My team up until the end was I picked Grunt and Samara to go with me for the final mission. Again, because I didn't. If
Weird.
One of them. Yeah. Oh, that's who I went with for the final mission, and they worked out well for me.
Yeah, I did so, Miranda and the Doctor.
Yeah, I had Morden because he was always with me, and I had Tali. Yeah, Tali because she almost fell off.
I found
Morden's Inferno is pretty good. That Inferno thing.
Yeah, yeah, called. He's pretty cool. Grunt has team fire bullets, is one of his things.
Yes, he does.
And that's really good to have. Grunt, especially when he's fully upgraded, because he has three upgrades you could do on him. You could give him 50% extra health and the badass shotgun. And he has team Inferno armor ammo. So you keep him with you. He's a really good squad member to have because he doesn't die and he gives you something that you can use.
Right.
He's not as funny as Morden, though.
He is not. Right. He's not funny, but he's probably
doesn't have much to say.
But he's the most helpful. He's like the dog in Dragon Age. I like having the dog around because I don't have to think about the dog.
I don't know. I didn't find the game that difficult on the normal difficulty. No. I died certainly, but not that much.
The hardest difficulty is supposed to be crazy, but I haven't even tried it.
I heard it's insane.
Yes, I believe that's what it's called.
All right.
I was gonna say, any final thoughts on Mass Effect 2?
The mining. Did you want to talk about the mining?
I think we beat that horse when we talked about it.
I didn't mind it that much, and you certainly didn't have to do it if you didn't really, and you probably didn't really need all those upgrades because, like I said, the game was pretty not that difficult. So
oh no, I was thinking about the ship upgrades because you definitely need the ship upgrades or you don't survive.
I was going to say, what happens if you don't have?
Oh, is that what happened? Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, people die on the way there. No, I think some people just died. Like. Because they show the people, like, they kind of go to the cutscenes when you're either, like, firing the guns or they're talking about the shields. And they kind of, show people in their stations. And I think they'd die there if you were an idiot.
If you didn't do that, I see. Well, I got to say, Ty really enjoyed the probing. That's the only part of the game he's seen. And he...
probe away.
I let him launch the probe, and he says, probe away. He loves it.
Launching probe. Probe away.
He loves it. He says it. He'll ask to play Probe Away. He'll come up, point to the TV, and say Probe Away.
If maybe there were half the amount of planets, or if it was more, if the areas that you could mine were a little more concrete, like, oh, this planet has 5 mining spots. Find them.
Yeah, or just do it like the PC, where you can move the cursor a lot faster.
Or move the cursor a lot faster, yes.
That would probably be fine. So, I don't know. Did people not like the end of the game? Was there controversy about people not liking that?
Well, yeah, John Davidson's review was all about the not liking the end of the game.
What did he say about it?
Just that it was a disappointment. I don't remember exactly what he was saying about it, but...
What was disappointing about it, though?
I think just the final boss battle and the way things wrapped up. But I mean,
it's like Empire Strikes Back, right? When you watch Empire Strikes Back, it's a great movie. The ending is not very satisfying because nothing is really resolved. I mean, Luke's lost his hand and, you know, the Empire is strong again.
And
but,
Han,
you know,
Solo
another...
is frozen in the carbonite.
Yeah. So it's not really satisfying, but it still was entertaining along the way. And you're looking forward to the third movie. And then you have Ewoks. And you don't like it.
So you think there's going to be Ewoks in this next one?
Oh,
yes,
I hope so.
I do.
I think in the next game you get
Batarian?
The dudes that look like gremlins.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what those are called.
Yeah. Dudes that look like gremlins.
Yeah.
The little fat guys. The guys that look like you, Wombat.
Oh, no, you're talking about Vorcha?
I'm talking about Vorcha. You're talking about Volus. Yeah, he's talking about Volus. I'm talking about Vorcha.
Yeah, I'm talking about the wombats.
Yeah, the wombats.
Those are voluses, and that would be funny to have one in your squad.
That's your Halloween costume for this year.
It's going to be a volus for the two people that would know what I am.
Right. Hey, they sold a lot of these games.
I want one of those hoodies that they sell on the website. The N7 hoodie.
Right, the $60 sweatshirt.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. I'm just saying I want one. So if you're listening... Right. BioWare.
Just go ahead and tweet about it.
Yeah, exactly. They still wouldn't send me one.
No.
No. But I think...
So are we done?
I think we're done. I think we had a very nice... That was a half-hour conversation about Mass Effect 2.
All right. I am... I'm looking forward to the DLC. I'm looking forward to playing those extra missions that I haven't played yet. And, we'll go from there.
Sounds like a plan. It's a winning
Let's,
plan.
Let's wrap it up. I'll remind everybody to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/GPD or wombat5277 or shipwreck or video game deals. Or if you're in the UK, UK game deals. Also, Wombat is going to be on this PAX East panel on at 3:30 p.m. on Friday in the Manticore Theater called Online Gaming Communities and Real Life Relationships. You can just, he'll be wearing that costume from Mass Effect 2.
Oh, yeah, I'll wear my Volus costume.
And please review us on iTunes. Review us on iTunes and use these coupon codes at GoDaddy.com. CAG10 gets you 10% off. CAG5 off 30 gets you $5 off a $30 order. And CAG Domain gets you $6.95 domain registrations at GoDaddy.com. And that's it.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Coming to a screen near you in over 4,000 colors. Full stereo sound on the largest portable video game screen in the world. Free only on Atari Lynx. Batman Returns, a $50 value, free with any purchase of the Atari Lynx game system. Now for a limited time only.